Euthanasia. Euthanasia. What a word, huh? One of the most controversial concepts and practices is defined as the act or practice of killing or permitting the death of hopelessly sick or injured individuals, that is persons, in a relatively painless way, for reasons of mercy, so that somehow, some way, killing, that is death, is defined as something merciful as euthanasia is practiced. Sounds like an oxymoron to a certain extent, does it not? Any number of our various 50 states now legally allow this practice of so-called mercy killing, especially when the individual person to be killed has no hope, so they say, no hope to heal or be restored, no hope. Any person wishing to be the victim of euthanasia must present a full and complete and extremely compelling case to the courts of law, and a competent judge must approve the request to die. I don't know about you, but that sounds so strange to me. A request to die. Further, the judge must also approve the method of death and those individuals who would carry out the euthanasia. I don't think I could do that, could you? And even though the killing is legally sanctioned, the actual act itself is abhorrent to many millions of people, and perhaps especially so to people of faith. What do you think? The individual who makes the legal request to die must be found legally competent to do so. Whether by depositions or in court, there must be a cogent, concise, and clear explanation as to why the act of euthanasia should occur, including a full understanding of the act itself, the consequences thereof, and the willingness, even the desire of the afflicted individual to die. The desire to die. In the case of any non-compos mentis, that is, person who cannot think for himself or herself, court-appointed fiduciaries or surrogates, including a spouse, direct family or extended family, must agree to the mercy-killing process and present the very same cogent case before the court so that the act can occur. One can only think of the moral angst as any legal agent would wrestle with the killing decision and ultimately decide to carry on. Never having been tested, I really do not know if I could do that. Could you? Every such act of self-killing or suicide must be physician-assisted. A competent medical doctor, legally and medically qualified, and as permitted within the state of the enabling legislation, must both administer the killing components, probably drugs, and implement the very practice itself. So many doctors, conscience-constrained, refuse to administer or participate in such killing. For them, it is wrong, morally wrong, to take a life no matter the circumstances. In fact, such doctors state openly that the Hippocratic Oath, which they have taken, prevents them from doing so, for they have sworn in that oath, as medical doctors, to do no harm. Do no harm. For them, killing of any sort, whether euthanasia or assisted suicide, is in fact doing the ultimate harm, don't you think? And then there are those, people of faith, who would never authorize or participate in euthanasia or assisted suicide, for their lives are governed by the principle of thou shalt not kill. And mercy killing is still killing. For them, no matter the circumstances, no matter the means which accomplishes the killing, the rationale or justification, therefore, or even the consent of the one to be killed, no matter the fairness, the mercy, or the grace of the act, the bottom line is a killing. And for them, thou shalt not do so. Thou shalt not do so. And as a Christian, I find that compelling. Whether or not you are a person of faith, what do you think? What do you think about euthanasia? Is euthanasia a killing which, no matter the circumstances, should be condemned and not permitted? Said another way, should killing of any kind be allowed in any voluntary way in a civilized society? Should it? What do you think? And further, do people have a right to die? Do they? Do you? Do I have a right to die? We take it for granted that people have a right to live and live to the fullest with maximum freedoms. Our country is built on those inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Conversely, if people have the right to live, do they also have the right to die as and when they choose? American citizens, at least if not all humankind, have that right to the pursuit of happiness. Can that right be interpreted to mean that in utterly hopeless physical conditions, the ultimate happiness would be an act of euthanasia or assisted suicide? These are indeed some of life's toughest and most difficult questions and issues to be determined. For it is very much indeed one thing to think of euthanasia and assisted suicide conceptually, but it is quite another to make that very decision for a loved one or assist in the actual act itself, is it not? I wonder if you have ever been involved in an assisted suicide decision-making, or even the actual practice itself. If so, I wonder your moral journey and how, in fact, you made one of life's hardest decisions. I'm not sure I could. My very own mother died one horrible death from the ravages of that satanic cancer. Her suffering, particularly in her later days, was excruciating. In the last 30 days of her life, she was barely human. Her mental processes were virtually destroyed, even as her body deteriorated. She lived intravenously and could only survive without the torture of a human's worst pain, with massive doses of morphine. I recall the attending doctor asking whether or not we would authorize a painless passing under those circumstances, for there was not the slightest possibility of her recovering. I thought, and I prayed. It seemed under her circumstances, allowing her to die would be merciful, an end of a tortuous, non-life existence. Nevertheless, I simply could not make the decision to prematurely end her life, no matter the circumstances. Nature, Mother Nature, and the will of God Almighty, must take their course. So I concluded, rightly or wrongly. Although it seemed the right thing to do, I watched the ever-increasing pain and the total destruction of her precious body, and that vicious process gave me second thoughts. It really did. Would it not have been the right thing to do to end her life, and with it the horrific pain and suffering she endured? I still ask that very question some 30 years after the fact. I know that I am against killing of any kind, whether mercy killing or not. But when in life the possibility becomes actuality, a real thing, for family, loved ones, or friends, and one is a participant in the decision-making process, then one is involved, whether voluntary or involuntary, and any decision to be made is so, so difficult. Were my mother conscious and she had made the decision on her own, I might have agreed and involuntarily participated, or at least condoned. I knew her love and her passion for life, and I could not believe that she, this woman, my mother, would choose to die no matter the circumstances. Perhaps she would have done just that, but I needed her. I needed her to make that decision. Not me. Not me. What would you do if your mother was suffering excruciating pain as she died with no hope of recovery? Would you authorize an assisted suicide, and would you participate either voluntarily or involuntarily in that mercy-killing act itself? Would you? Then there are those who say that those in such a suffering condition receive disproportionate care. So many attending physicians, hospital services, and drugs, just to name some. The cost for caring for those sure to die become astronomical, sometimes into the millions of dollars. And that's a real factor. And those who are concerned with a fair distribution and utilization of medical services think all such is itself immoral and unjust, and consequently they are proponents of early and sure euthanasia, or assisted suicide. Do you buy that? Others in proportion do not get the care they need, while one without hope gets so much more. Interesting thought. Such an argument sounds reasonable, but should we the people, especially as a civilized society, should we not devote any and all assets and resources possible for the treatment, the care, and the hope for cure for any patient, for any human being, no matter the circumstances? Should we not do that? What do you think? Thou shalt not kill, whether mercy killing or not. The further we get from those we so deeply and intimately love, perhaps immediate family, the more objective we may become. And as such, at least intellectually, any decision regarding euthanasia may be made under somewhat lesser terms and conditions. A very dear and close friend of mine suffered a massive heart attack which resulted in coma, and very soon thereafter what doctors described as a brain-dead condition. It was absolutely awful. I knew this dear man's wife so very well. I was with her at my friend's bedside. She asked my advice as to whether or not she should authorize the doctor-recommended decision to allow my friend and her husband to die, since he was kept alive by artificial means with no hope of recovery. And after considerable thought and prayer, I recommended she allow him to pass. And after consultation with others and prayer herself, she did just that. Several days thereafter, she was relieved and felt she did the right thing. And I did as well. But I remember even today my very own conflict, the moral dilemma felt as I compared the passing of my dear friend with that of my mother. I could not authorize nor would I permit the assisted suicide of my mother, as she died that terrible death from cancer. But I did recommend that my dear friend leave this earth as a result of assisted suicide. Kind of a paradox. Kind of an inconsistency, don't you think? And I wondered at that time, and do so this very day, whether or not there is in fact such a moral absolute against killing. Thou shalt not kill, period. Nothing to interpret. And if one was allowed to die prematurely when death is absolutely certain, is that killing in the ultimate moral sense? Is it? Is it simply an act of rationalization to concur in an assisted suicide in one set of circumstances and to insist it is wrong in another? Or is there in fact a right of any individual to die as well as to live, their choice, depending upon the circumstances of one's life? In the case of my friend, he was brain dead, and his heart only functioned because it was artificially stimulated. In fact, legally, he was dead. In the case of my mother, she was not legally dead. There was some life left in her, no matter how little. And I could not in good conscience condone the taking of that remaining life, no matter how little was left. And even as there may be justifications for different decision-making, there are inconsistencies in such thinking and decision-making which decides differently based on the facts of any case or person, for that is a simple recognition that there is no moral absolute. Do you think there is one? That there must be interpretations as life would dictate, and that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is itself not absolute, but tenuous, and subject to our very own interpretation by our very own individual consciences. What do you think? And now comes Obamacare, the so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the ACA, an act designed allegedly for patient protection and, of course, affordability, both, in my view, oxymorons. Euthanasia and assisted suicide are not directly dealt with, but they are indirectly. For example, there are significant changes in coverage and benefits for all citizens, and especially senior citizens. It is harder to get services, including doctors, and hospitals formerly used and now not available, and of course drugs, and the most expensive of the drugs, the current drugs, are sometimes not even covered by Medicare or medical insurance. And there are as well collateral effects to Medicare and Medicaid, which lessens quality everywhere. and makes doctor and especially specialist appointments more difficult and time-consuming. And it eliminates certain services from coverage and makes even more affordable medical services like chiropractic, acupuncture, holistic medicine, and the like more difficult to get if, in fact, they are covered at all. So that the indirect effect of Obamacare can be considered to have a euthanasia effect to the detriment of the elderly, the severely ill, those in need of very special and very expensive medical attention, the end result of which is to do nothing more than hasten death. To hasten death, isn't that a form of euthanasia? That seems to be the philosophy of our current Obama-appointed Surgeon General, essentially a believer in the Alinsky model and one whose philosophy, among others, is to redistribute healthcare products and services and to do away with the imbalance of such services, those which are highly skewed toward the elderly, so as to make them more available for those younger. If not actual and practicing euthanasia, that is certainly policy driven by euthanasia principles, don't you think? The cleansing can be accomplished in any number of ways, and the more subtle and evolutionary and less radical in change, the more effective the transformation, with much less opportunity to change back. So many feel it is not a good time in life to be a senior citizen. What then, the question follows, is the responsibility of a person of faith, and especially a Christian, to the sick, the very, very sick, and the dying? We are surely prone as people of faith and true human beings to care for the sick and dying and to help wherever we can, are we not? It is essential moral human nature at work. Knowing that death, like taxes, is certain, when death is imminent, what should be the extent of our caring and our concern for the terminally ill and dying? What should it be? Though we care and care deeply for another human being, is there a point where that caring becomes secondary, even useless? And is there a point where, with overcare and painful extension of life, we do more harm than good? What do you think? Can we not then, at least in any voluntary way, allow another human being, including those we love, to pass this earth rather than endure an existence without real life? Such a moral dilemma, is it not? If by keeping another human being alive we do more harm than good, have we done the right thing from a moral and a human standpoint? I look back in history at Nazi monsters, evil and satanic men and women who killed without compunction or compassion. The crippled, the lame, the physically challenged, and especially those who were Jewish, were rounded up and slaughtered by the tens of thousands. God forgive them. That, of course, was a form of ethnic cleansing, but presented at least to the German people as killing acts of mercy. Necessary. Can you believe that? Perhaps you could argue that is euthanasia to the extreme, but nonetheless, it is the killing of another human being, surely without mercy, which can occur. And wars do the same thing. Wars. They are, of course, killing without mercy, but they accomplish the same objective. Where then, I ask, is that very fine line between killing and mercy killing, the so-called justified killing or assisted suicide, and the killing without mercy or for the wrong reasons? Can any human being really draw that line and do so with absolute moral confidence? I wonder. What do you think? Perhaps it is simply far better to decide on the side of life. Perhaps, as long as there is life of any kind, recognizable, sustainable, perhaps Mother Nature and the God of the universe should determine when it is time. Not you, not me, not anybody else, but God Almighty. Perhaps our deep and abiding humanity would require us to do all we can to protect and preserve life, no matter how difficult. Death would then occur in its own time, and we would not be morally involved or responsible for choosing that time. And perhaps that is the right, the moral, the biblical, the Christian approach to life, and certainly to euthanasia. Perhaps it should not be. What do you think? Perhaps our mantra should be life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, to the very last breath. Frankly, that's what I believe. What do you believe? I confess that I would dread the day when someone I dearly loved was on death's doorstep, and I was called upon to make the decision to live or die. I suppose I should honestly say that I really do not know what I would do. What would you do?